Hey there, it's Ron. In addition to celebrating our 7th anniversary this month, we have a few really special shows coming up, so please keep an eye on our Facebook page or website for more details. Our next two shows are on March 14th in San Diego and March 15th in Denver. Please note that the Denver show starts an hour earlier at 7 p.m., not our usual 8 p.m., and we'll have a super special lineup in honor of our anniversary. The theme will be popular. See you there.
Next storyteller.
All right, next storyteller.
Next storyteller.
Our next storyteller.
Welcome to the Narrators Podcast.
This podcast collects stories that were told at the Narrators, a monthly storytelling event that features people telling true stories based on a theme.
Today's story comes from Joe Phillips, who, in his own words, is an actor and bartender approaching middle age, but we know he's so much more. This story was recorded live on December 21st, 2016 at Bumport Theater in Denver, Colorado. The theme of the evening was Parents Just Don't Understand.
I just want to start off by saying that I'm okay. I'm healthy. My bills are paid. I've got great friends, a wonderful girlfriend, and I've made it to 39 years old. So that's all right. Parents Just Don't Understand. That song, that album came out in 1988 when I was 11 years old, and I actually had the cassette tape for that. I love music. I grew up loving music. Still love music, and I picked that up from my mother. She was obsessed with music, and we used to really relate to one another and communicate through music, whether it was singing together to songs on the radio in the car, or every Sunday we had a weekly bet over what the number one single was going to be on Casey Kasem's Top 40. I would win most of the time because I would cheat. I would watch the MTV Top 20 video countdown first, which would kind of give me a clue as to what the people were thinking out there. I loved my mom. I was a classic mama's boy. My mom had me 4 days before her 18th birthday. She was unwed. My father was a complicated man with a lot going on in his life, I guess. And I don't really have many memories of him outside of photographs that I've seen, which have somehow turned into movies in my mind. I don't know if that's real or not. My father died when I was six, and at the time I was told it was from an accident he had had when he was alone. Years later, I was able to figure out that accident wasn't completely without guilt on his own part. So it was my mother and I, and we were super tight, and She eventually married. She married a Chilean man, and they had two more daughters, my lovely sisters. And in 1988, when Parents Just Don't Understand came out, I was in the fifth grade, and my class was doing a class show for the other grades, and it was about American history, and I fought really hard. It was my first show I'd ever done, and I fought really, really hard to get the what I thought was the lead, and I still think it's the lead, the part of Paul Revere. And when I aced the audition and I got the part, I was so excited and so proud, and I went back home, and I told my mom, and she, because she was on my team, she was like super excited and really proud, and she asked, well, when is the show? When can I, I need to know so I could take time off work and I could come see it. And I immediately came up with a bunch of excuses why she shouldn't come. The first one being that, oh, well, you know, if I saw you out in the audience, I'd be so distracted by you that I would forget my lines. my lines being, the British are coming, the British are coming, and nothing else. Or I told her, I don't want you to get in trouble at work. You see, we were really poor, and my stepfather was... I'm glad someone likes that. My stepfather was allergic to work, so my mom had to work twice as hard for everyone to keep us going, and I didn't want her to... I told her, I was like, I don't want you to miss out on work for my stupid show. And lastly, like, it's a stupid show. Like, it's going to be dumb. Don't come. The truth was, I was embarrassed to have my mom come. And, you know, that's nothing new. Kids are embarrassed to their parents all the time. But it's not that my mom wasn't cool, because she was fucking cool. And it's not that, I mean, she was beautiful. My mom was, she was cool and she was beautiful. Before she got knocked up with me, she was taking classes at Barbizon. And if anyone's old enough to remember, I mean, Barbizon's where you go to train to be a model or just look like one. But when she got pregnant with me, she gave up on those dreams. No, I was embarrassed because my mom was so young. And I was embarrassed because we were so poor. And even at 11 years old, I knew what those two things could be perceived as from other people. And so my mom, she said, okay, and went into another room, and then I did the show. And when I finished the show, and I think I killed it, I looked out in the audience and I didn't see my mother out there. Reminder, I'm okay. My bills are paid. I'm healthy. I made it to 39. Less than a year later, at the beginning of the sixth grade, my mom was diagnosed with leukemia. And they caught it real late. Because my stepfather had better things to do than earn a living, my mom was always working and she was always tired and she always felt like shit. So she just thought she was feeling like shit because that's the life she had. Less than 2 months later, on a cold November night, she passed. My stepfather left the country with my two sisters, going back to Chile, and I was left to live with my grandparents. And they did the best they could. We were all devastated. We were all broken. We all loved my mother very much. All hope was gone in our house. We were polite to each other, but there was no talk of fate or destiny, because what kind of world would leave us without my mother? And we all became hardline atheists because we couldn't believe in any God that would do this. After 3 years, my grandparents decided to move from Colorado to Indiana. And we got into a big fight over it. And my grandparents told me that they had never expected they would have to raise children again, and they hadn't asked for that. And I couldn't argue. So they left and I stayed. And I did okay. And I finished high school. And I found a home and a safe place in my high school theater department, where I did a lot of shows. And whenever I looked out in the audience, I never once had to see my mother. And I never once had to be embarrassed by her. I graduated high school, and I still perform to this day. I've performed all over this country. I performed in this place right here. And I've never had to be embarrassed to see my mother out there. I'm okay. My bills are paid. I have my health. And I've made it to 39 years old. And I don't believe in a heaven. But if there is one, I wonder what my father, David, who died at 28, and my mother, Sherry, who died at 30, I wonder if they would understand this middle-aged man they see now.
I love you, Joe Phillips. I didn't get to give you another hug, so I'll give you one afterwards.
The Narrators is produced by Robert Rutherford, Mary Robertson, Aaron Rollman, and me, Ron Doyle. Our assistant producer is Sydney Crane. Our theme music is by Whalehawk, and our founder and executive producer is Andrew Orvidal. A very special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Illegal Pete's, Sexy Pizza, From the Hip Photo, and Renegade Brewing Company. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. And join us at one of our live monthly shows, which take place every second Tuesday of the month at Tiger Tiger Tavern in San Diego, California, and every third Wednesday of the month at Bumport Theater in Denver, Colorado. Both shows start at 8 p.m. and are always free to attend. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, and for past episodes, photos from our live shows, and a list of our upcoming events and themes, please visit thenarrators.org. Thanks for listening.